Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Boss Barrel Radio. This is episode 91. I am John Stanhope, your host. With me is Griffin Hoffman.
Joy Puke!
Oh gosh,
now your I'm face
ruined.
Off.
Now I'm ruined. Also with us is Matt Lake.
Hi.
And Ryan Fielder's away on assignment.
Bummer, man. I wish he was here too, because we did some work this week.
Yeah, yeah. Tons of stuff.
Tons of stuff.
Stuff and things.
Stuff.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Griff, what'd you do this week?
I watched Pirates of the Caribbean Beyond Stranger Shores? Gosh. Stranger? The fourth Wait, Pirates
the
movie.
Fourth one?
Beyond Stranger Tides, I think.
Is Penelope Cruz weird in that movie? Because I saw that movie and I thought she was the weirdest part of that
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. Actually, everything about that movie is weird in that movie.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a film that I watched. I also did some other stuff, you know, proposing to Jen.
Yeah,
that was
happened.
Fun.
That was a big deal.
Small little thing.
Yeah, you know, just no big deal. Right. Now I have a million more followers on Facebook, and they're all Jen's family, so they can deal with all my video game-related nonsense posts.
Did you tell them that was a bad decision?
No, I'm sure they'll start to realize it soon.
I need to unsubscribe from this. What can I do? Oh, no.
It's your own fault.
Yep, you did this to yourself.
I don't know what happened with Facebook or my Twitter client, but I can't update the Boss Barrel Facebook page anymore from my TweetDeck account, which really sucks. I like to be able to just do a blanket attack of posts.
Yeah.
But now, if I just post on Twitter, it'll go to my Facebook and Twitter. So that's nice. I can, like... You know, I won't get those annoying double posts anymore.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I guess it's one step forward, one step back.
Yep. Pretty much where you were.
Yeah.
How
about you, John? You been up to anything fun?
I'm on...
You almost done with that damn Star Trek nonsense?
Well, that's where I was going. I'm on episode 26 of season 6, so that means 27 more episodes to go.
Nice.
And then I'll be done. Yeah.
And then you're going to build your own holo deck?
I'm going to work on it.
Out of Legos?
It takes a lot of crystals.
And tachyon crystals?
Yep. A lot of subparticle beams, I think.
Oh, they're the best beams.
I feel like the moment that Star Trek isn't good is the moment when I decide that I'm just like, maybe I want to actually pay attention to like what people are saying when they start spitting out space jargon. And then I like listen to Geordi talk for 5 seconds and then be like, nope, that was a bad decision. Because if I try to like break it down and be like, does any of this make sense? No. So just don't fight it. Let's let them talk.
Yeah.
Because not like any of the things they're saying are going to make sense anyway.
Sure.
It's so just allow
How many visors has Geordi gone through?
At least two.
Just two.
Yeah.
Okay. He's
pretty much sticking.
You going to go
the
through all
got.
The movies after this too?
I'm thinking about
you
it.
You going to do.
I've seen one.
Oh, you might as well.
Next Generation?
Yeah, the Next Generation. There's
and then First Contact.
First Contact.
And then Nemesis.
Mm-hmm. Nemesis is the Borg one, right?
That's
the Borg one.
I don't think so. I think that's
the
green dudes.
First Contact.
Yeah, like the... I don't know. Sure, I don't know,
Nemesis
man.
Is like the clone of Picard or something.
Oh.
Weird.
I remember there was the one movie about the plastic surgery guys... Who liked
Insurrection?
Always, yep. There you go.
Yep. Insurrection. That one is terrible.
I think I saw all those in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Wow, that's
Ooh.
Good.
Ooh. It's a dark side of my history.
Wow, impressive.
May or may not have owned a tricorder toy.
So it was just lit Fancy. Up, and you just had this thing you could take out and wave
nope,
over things.
There was no
go.
Wavy thing. It wasn't. It was like your standard ops tricorder, not your medical tricorder.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yep,
that's cool.
Standard issue. Mark II.
You know what I used to have? I used to have one of those Ghostbuster Y-shapey things that...
The proton pack is not a toy, John.
No, not the proton pack. The part, the thing that...
Oh, the...
handle and then it's got the Y...
The detector
that,
thing?
Yeah.
What is that called?
Stuff in that place.
Parse? No, I wanted to say Parsec for some reason. No, I don't... That's not right.
Yeah, what the heck is that thing called?
I don't know. I had the Ooze backpack. That was a bummer.
I used to have the original backpack.
That one was the one to have.
Yep.
With that big, stupid, wet noodle coming out the front of it. That
yep,
big
that
yellow
noodle thing. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you, I also had a trap.
Oh, man, the trap was the best. The trap
was the best.
Because you'd put the ghost on the top of it, and then you'd slam your foot down on the air-powered pedal, and it would pop the doors open.
Yep, it was good. It was
so cool. And it had wheels, so you could actually slide it.
Slide it out.
Oh, man.
It was great.
What happened to toys?
What happened to my life?
No.
My life was good back then.
Yeah, well, yeah. Need to get this. I need to recreate this. Right. Halloween costumes.
Right. Let's do it, guys.
A brown jumpsuit.
We just need to paint Ryan black and he can be Winston.
I was asked that by a friend on the phone like a week ago. If he could paint my face black if I wanted to be Winston. I was like, hell gosh, no.
You should just go as like the most racist Ghostbuster. So one person goes as Winston in blackface, and the other person goes as a really, really awful racial, like Jewish stereotype of Venkman.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. That'd be great.
Jeez,
I think you could.
Just goes as super, super fat Ray.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, who?
I don't know what Bill Murray would end up being accentuated as.
Who's you? Bill Murray?
Or was he Venkman? He was Venkman. What am I thinking? Egon would have to be the super Jewish stereotype, and then Bill Murray would just be like the philandering, like just chasing tail all the time, and just talking down to women and how stupid they are. Women can't be female ghosts because women aren't smart enough to come back when they die.
Ha! It's terrible.
Ghostbusters 3. I just wrote it.
There you go.
Not another Ghostbusters movie.
Wasn't that the video game, Ghostbusters 3?
I'm pretty sure that's
what they wrote it out to be, like the continuation of the Ghostbusters lore.
A rook.
Yep, rookie.
Newbie.
Noobs. Nubbins. Oh man,
not nubs. No,
no. I don't know if it, I never played it all the way through, so I don't know.
Oh, you didn't. Oh.
I only played the demo, and I thought to myself that that game was not the best.
I played it. It was kind of average, but I'm glad I played it.
So not the best.
It was not the best, no.
Speaking of surprising things that are pretty good for games, I played some games.
Yeah, yes. Well, you did, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I played a couple things, too. Do we want to talk about the dumb stuff first?
I want to talk about Double Dragon Neon.
Yeah, let's talk about that stuff.
I wish Ryan was here because we played through it together co-op.
Oh, you brought somebody in
How fun!
Oh man, it was great. It was so much fun. My review is up too, so if you want, you can read that. But I'll just talk a little bit about it. It definitely is Double Dragon, like your standard beat 'em up game with your standard punch, kicky, jump, punch, jump, kick. Controls. There's a dodge that gives you this gleam if you do it with the right timing, and then you do increase damage for a short amount of time. You get special abilities by picking up these cassette tapes, mixtapes, and you can level them up by picking up more of the same tape. You can also attach those. You can get another type of tape, which gives you like a new passive ability. So like it'll increase your stats, give you more health, give you more damage. Might increase your weapon damage if you choose to pick up a weapon. So you can only have one of each equipped at the same time. So that gives it a little bit of, you know, uniqueness and character. But all in all, it is just another brawler in terms of gameplay. In terms of awesomeness, it is the freaking best. If you want to play a great game, you should play Double Dragon Neon because it's freaking hilarious. All the writing is, all the little jokes are so funny, like the stupid little things that they say when they kill a dude are just great. Like you hit a dude with a baseball bat and he'll say touchdown or hole in one, you all the different things that you use to knock out a guy have a funny saying, or just the banter between the two characters while you're playing through the game. It's just stupid 80s, 90s bro slang that they keep just spouting back and forth. Guys like, I really miss... I hope Marion's okay. And the other brother's like, shut up, butt cake, grow a pair. It's just like chuckle-stupid-inducing jokes that are... Or chuckle-inducing stupid jokes that are just funny. And the evil nemesis, Skullmageddon, sounds like Skeletor, meets Betty from Kung Pao. it's really good, and it's worth playing through, playing co-op. It's $10 on Xbox Live and PS3, PSN. It's for PSN Plus users, it's free. I would recommend the Xbox version because the amount of achievements that are in there are like way more fun compared to the PlayStation version. PlayStation version is super lame, just like really standard trophies. The Xbox has a lot more diversity of achievements, and they're a lot more fun to go and like hunt for. Whereas the PS3 is just like all of the little fun parts lumped into one big trophies that are like, do all these things and get this thing, get this, like kill all these dudes and you get this one trophy, versus Xbox would have it as like, you kill this guy, you get a special achievement. Kill this guy, it's just more interesting, fun little rewards for doing smaller things instead of big ones for doing long time consuming things. Double Dragon Neon though, I can't. It's good. I give it 4 out of 5. It's excellent. You should play it. You mean to review some more games alone? Okay, let me tell you about.
No, you're just going on and on and on and on.
Well, then say something.
I have no interest in that game.
Oh, well, you should. It's a fun brawler.
No, I have no.
I'm kind of sick of brawlers. I mean, that whole arcade brawler just loses it without the quarters for me.
Well, I mean, there are lives and there are continues, and you have to restart the entire stage, which can be a pain in the ass. I mean, it's not like it's without challenge and you can just power your way through it. Having two players does help because you can revive each other, which you do by sticking a pencil through the wheels of the tape and cranking the pencil to rewind your tape because it's coming out. Yep. It's a good little 90s and 80s nod.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Well,
I just don't care.
All right.
I'm just.
Yeah, I probably won't play it. But I played plenty of Double Dragon back when I was little. So
I keep seeing that dumb thing show up on PlayStation, and I just don't.
I don't know, John. Maybe you and I could play it.
No, I have no interest in doing it.
I'm telling you.
I don't even have any interest in going back and playing Double Dragon. I have no interest in. No, just don't.
It's really funny.
Okay.
It's freaking hilarious.
How's Minish Cap?
I finished that. That was now my favorite Zelda of all time. So,
oh, wow.
I'm writing something up. Yes. Writing up a sort of like retrospective review of it and why my opinions have changed. Because I guess I haven't played all of the Zelda games, but having just played this now, I'm like, oh, it just pulls in everything that's great about almost all the Zeldas. And it's bizarre that it's made by Capcom.
That is bizarre. I never played Minish Cap. I always wanted to.
You should. It's really good.
Wait.
And it's short.
Minish Cap was made by Capcom?
Flagship Studio, which is a Capcom spin-off company.
Really?
Which is owned by Capcom, yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, kind of nuts. Directed by Miyamoto, of course, but then it's like Keiji Inafune was the, I think, or produced by Miyamoto and then directed by Inafune. And then, I don't know. It's weird.
That's weird.
That game is as good as it is.
Another one that you like downloaded to play?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I had it for Ambassadorship, and
I was gonna say you should let me borrow that, but apparently
I can't
too
do that.
Good for that.
It's
I could just borrow your 3DS.
You could. Unfortunately, I'm still making my way through other games though.
Oh,
so no luck there.
Oh man. Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, yeah, I played through that, and I did it this whole game. I just wanted to mention it. So
okay.
People could watch it if they want. It was, man, that game
is good.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that's not aged well.
It is. No, it didn't even age well the day it came out. Like, immediately after, it's like, whoa, Jesus.
It was good when it came out. I liked it.
No, it wasn't.
Loved that game.
No, it was not a good game. It was only good because I was young, and it was Star Wars, and it was exactly what I needed.
Okay.
Game's, I don't know. I probably couldn't play it today, so.
It's really, it's a grind, man.
I bet.
Yeah, I bet it's a grind. Let's see. What else here? You got, yeah, that's it. You're done. You're done talking.
I quit.
About things. Matt, did you play anything?
No, of course I didn't. What, are you expecting I was playing something?
Okay. My really dumb thing. I played more Sleeping Dogs. It's getting better.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It's getting better because...
Why is that dumb? That sounds great.
Well, we've talked about it like 3 times now. It's getting better because I realized you can like go into stunt mode on motorcycles.
Oh, nice.
Like you can jump from a motorcycle to a moving truck and then throw a dude out of truck.
And that sounds great.
There's an achievement for that.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. There's also, you can do wheelies and California wheelies.
Well, is that where there's avocado and fake crab meat?
No.
Oh.
California wheelie is where you go up on the front wheel.
Oh. I didn't know that was called a California wheelie.
I did not
wheelie.
Know that either.
Yeah.
I thought it was called a nosy.
Oh, okay. Well,
or a front wheelie.
A front wheelie or something.
Whatever. So anyway.
Free wheelie.
Sure. I also played a game because I don't know where I read it. It was free to download for the iPhone. Run, Roo, Run. It's the Fifth Cell game for iPhone.
Oh, that was free, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was free for a little bit, so I downloaded it. And I finished it the same day I got it.
Okay.
And I finished it probably 2 hours after getting it. So, yeah.
What do you do in that game?
So what is it?
It's sort of hard to explain. It's like a puzzle platformer.
Okay.
You are this kangaroo that's out to save your Joey. And you start on the left screen. And when you tap the screen, your kangaroo starts running. And you have these obstacles in the way that you have to jump over. And the levels are all really short because they're the width of the screen. So you start on the left, you finish on the right. And that's the end of the stage. And there's stuff in the middle that you have to jump over. But it becomes more and more complex by throwing in different mechanics. Like you reach this pole and the pole spins you around to go the other direction. But there's like, it's incorporated. It's not a bad thing. It's incorporated in you getting around the stage to get to. Because at some point, there's elevation involved in the screen.
So how do you fail?
By hitting things or falling into traps or stuff like that.
So it's just platforming puzzles. Like it's like an on-rails platforming puzzle?
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. So you run at a predetermined pace. There are certain things that will stop you, and you can sort of time it out.
So it's like Echo Chrome or... like where you can't control the speed you're always moving, and you just kind of have to move with the environment.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A bit trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like bit trip too. Although you can't control, like, at least with bit trip, you can control the speed and like sort of the direction. Like all of this is done. Like you control everything by just tapping the screen. Mm. There's no like throttle forward, throttle back. It's like you just have to hit these beats and do everything in sequential order. It's more like Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I guess I would sort of say, because you've got to get, like, once you say go, it's going, and then you just have to hit the beats at the right moment to make everything happen.
Like, literally beats? Is there, like, on-screen? Sort of. Like, there's a highway that you have to line the notes up with?
No, but, I mean, if you think about it, if the rabbit is going, or if the kangaroo is going from point A to point B. Uh-huh. If there was nothing in the way, he would just get there. And so you've got four or five obstacles in the way. You just have to go tap screen, tap screen, tap screen. And just hit them at the right point so that he just jumps at the right point. So that's ultimately what that game breaks down to. Is you just hitting the button at the right point to make him jump so that you get done with that game.
Okay.
The hardest part of the game is when you get the you run into the I wouldn't say it's really a power up, but it's like at the beginning of each stage you collect this orb that makes you go invisible, and then it's really hard to do because you only appear before and after you jump. Like when you jump, you'll become visible, and then when you land, you'll become visible again.
Is that like the Roo Master Quest?
Yeah, it's weird. So.
Well, that doesn't sound fun at all.
No, it's not. I finished it really quickly. It's not really that fun. You can hate on that game, too. But Griff and I played Borderlands 2.
Yeah! Hooray, it's out! Yesterday?
Yesterday. I guess I played that thing at 2 o'clock this morning.
John, you're creating a time paradox!
I know, it's crazy. I picked that game up at like 12:30 last night. And started playing. I did not stop playing it until about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pretty good.
Did you like it
better than the first one.
Did you play through the first one?
Nope. Hated it.
It's the same game. Surprise. Yeah.
Huh.
Nope. Don't.
Who are you playing as?
Assassin. Could not tell you why I hate that first game. I just did not care for it at the time.
It's
maybe if I went back and like did a retrospective on it.
I could play it with
If there's you. Any fault to this game, it is that it is f- following almost an exact blueprint of the first game as to how to build a new Borderlands game. So, it's a bizarre issue to have with a game.
Yeah, and it's sort of funny, too, because, like, at first I play it, and I think that the game is so much more different, but then the more I keep playing it, the more I'm like, no, it's pretty much what it was before, but there's something about it that I like better. I couldn't really tell you what either. I think that game is hella funny.
Yeah.
I think it's really funny.
It's no Double Dragon Neon, I'll tell you that.
Uh-huh, sure. I think the way that you find Double Dragon Neon is funny is in a...
That's really stupid. It's funny. If you read my review, yeah. I say that Double Dragon Neon is the Kung Pao Enter the Fist of video games.
Okay. Well... But okay,
cause yes, it is that good.
I was about to say that it's so stupid that it's funny, but then that's pretty much what I would say about Borderlands 2.
I think there's actually some intelligent humor to that game too. Like the Handsome Jack dialogue is great. That is good writing stuff.
Like, that's like the Diamond Pony.
Anthony Birch did some hardcore studying of Aqua Teen Hunger Force to get his character for Handsome Jack down.
Yes, he did.
You were basically interacting with Shake.
Yeah. No. Uh huh. I haven't gotten as far as Griff has in the game yet. I intend to do a bunch of that tonight. But yeah, man, that game, Handsome Jack is funny. What does he end up calling? Well, no spoilers, but.
The horse joke.
There may be a diamond horse that Handsome Jack may or may not own.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, that's good. The humor is good. Definitely good. The more characters you meet, I'll say this. If one of the things that I'm noticing now, since I just hit the big town Salvation, there are a lot more characters that you are just interacting with, like, I mean, this is a weird little hub city that I've hit, which I don't expect to be doing quite often, but, you know, I'm like actually walking around a town and running into people for absolutely no good reason, just probably because a game designer was there, like, oh, people like going and exploring things that aren't always about killing animals, so we'll just give them this town to run around. And I'm having a good time there. It's a nice change of pace to be like, there's nothing I have to worry about. I'm just going to go and look at some chests and sell some crap.
Is the saving checkpointing system the same as it was in Borderlands 1?
Yep.
It's
a little more generous this time.
Is it? Okay, because even I feel like it's a little aggravating. So it just automatically checkpoint saves you at one of those markers?
Yeah, I think you'll hit a big marker, and then you'll hit little markers as you go on that'll kind of tie you to a certain area.
Okay. Because I stopped halfway through a mission last night, and then when I loaded up again today, it kicked me all the way back to, like, the last checkpoint marker that I had established.
Yeah. No, those little ones in the town, or there's a big one, and I think there's little small ones that I really don't know what the purpose for them are. It's probably just for smaller saves.
I've noticed that if you die, you go back to those checkpoint markers.
All of the little ones?
Whichever the last one you went to was.
Hmm. Okay.
So, I died a lot that first couple hours. That second boss, I had a really hard time trying to decipher how to appropriately...
Who is the second boss?
Boom Boom.
Oh, okay.
Because my first thought was just bum rush the big thing.
Nah.
That's not the way to approach that.
Yeah. I ran into that one and immediately died because I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to go straight ahead and do this thing and I know I'm going to get killed. So that happened. And then I just went back and did a bunch of side quests and got better stuff. And then it was no big thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing it wrong where I'm mainlining this thing.
You should do side quests.
Okay.
They're fun. Game.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's a time to skip side quests, it's in the beginning.
Okay.
You know, the loot's only going to get better.
That's my other thing is, like, so far, I like the loot. There's just so much of it. So much of it.
I lost for the loot.
So at some point, I was wondering about this, like, I'm just trying to decipher like how that game sort of dulls out. Like, okay, you start off by getting a pistol, and then at like what point do you just start like finding other guns though? Because I mostly I'm just seeing pistols. I've only recently found like my first machine gun. There's been a few shotguns. Never seen a sniper rifle.
It's completely random. I mean, maybe they have some algorithm where it's like, we're not going to give you... I don't know. It's got to be completely random because I have found... I found everything. I found sniper rifle. I found rocket launcher. I found grenade launchers. I found miniguns. I found submachine guns, pistols, shotguns, everything. The only thing that I haven't started finding are the weird cross combinations where it's like... It's a scope minigun, or it's a, you know, it's a shotgun. Well, actually, I did. I found a shotgun that shoots explosive bullets, which are basically rockets. So, I mean, I'm getting into that bizarro territory.
I'm sure you've come across the types of guns that will allow, like, when you reload, you throw the gun and it explodes.
Yeah.
Was
don't
that,
like those.
Was that in the first one?
Uh-uh. No. No, they have focused... in Borderlands 2 more on giving each manufacturer sort of an identity.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first game, you could find like each manufacturer had a certain kind of formula that it did try to follow. Like let's say TDR was high damage, low accuracy or something like, mm-hmm. let's just say hypothetically. And then you have like, you know, what's another company? Malawan, whatever it is, they would be like your high elemental proc. In this game, it's like each one kind of just does its one thing. So like Dahl is going to be like your precision weapons. So aim down sights is going to give you a 3-round burst or a certain amount of round burst. Mm-hmm. The Malawan is going to always be elemental based, and your elemental properties is going to be just vastly humongous compared to any other gun type out there for those. Hyperion is like a specialty type weapon where they tend to get more accurate the more you shoot them. You've got... what's another one? TDR, that's the really crappy ones that you just throw in the, instead of reloading and they explode.
I actually don't mind those. I kind of think they're cool.
And then you've got the bandit weapons, which are just kind of like
garbage,
hodgepodge of whatever, usually just really bizarre combinations of things. So I think there's probably, I'm probably missing a few more things too, but
yeah.
The one thing that I haven't found is I think they're kind of very slowly doling out the elemental properties for weapons.
I've seen just like a ton of fire, fire and explosive.
Yep. I haven't run across any shock or slag or corrosive yet. So I'm thinking that that'll be something you see more of late game. It's probably level based.
Yeah.
You know, you start to see more of those.
I sort of imagine that's what it would end up being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard elemental stuff is a lot more important in this game than the previous one.
Oh my God, it is. Like before, this is when I've been playing through it as an assassin, as of you, John.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize that I kind of want to switch over to Maya because how important elemental weapons are in this game. Like, and they're good. Like before, the elemental abilities were really ill-defined, and they were really helpful, but it was such a very specific dice roll that you had to land on to make something actually be useful for an elemental weapon user. Now, you're just finding elemental weapons that have very straightforward properties where it's like, this is the chance to do, for it to proc elemental damage, and this is how much damage it's going to do per hit. So, very, very straightforward. And I'm thinking like, oh man, like, I've been playing exclusively with like a fire pistol and an explosive shotgun this far into the game. So, I'm thinking, man, I should kind of go back and maybe retry it as Maya because I think she'd be more fun.
Mm-hmm. So exactly what is the Siren's ability?
Okay, so the four character classes are kind of extensions of the previous game. So the Siren, Maya, has this weird ability where you can kind of create a singularity and you can lock down one dude on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a they call it like phase lock or something. So you're basically like putting a status hold on them. They can't do anything. And then by buffing it out, it'll can do certain other things like damage them over time when they're locked, pull other people towards the lock, explode, jump from one character to one character. It can expand that ability.
Liara.
Kind of, yeah. And then if you want to go a healing route, it can, if you lock people, it'll automatically revive them, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the assassin, which everybody that I know is playing.
Thane.
Sure. I mean,
I'm just going to play this game.
Your ability is like a deception, I think is what it's called. And it is very much like the Siren's ability in the first game where you become invisible. You send her to a decoy, so you have like a hologram of your dude like fighting, so all the enemies are drawn to them, and then you can run around invisible, and all the enemies' attention is away from you.
Yeah.
Then if you wait for the cooldown to reach the lower end of the 5 seconds you have, and you do a melee attack, you'll do the most amount of damage possible.
Yeah.
That can be upgraded to do certain things like give you a dash attack to cover more distance. You can throw daggers out to, randomly affect enemies with status ailments. What's the sniper and entry one?
I forget. Well, I mean, if you use your distraction one, your next shot will just do massive amounts of critical damage.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty much the gun end of the tree and the melee end of the tree are almost identical in what they do. It's mm-hmm. just what they work for.
Well, I mean, no. The melee end of the melee end, the bloodlust or whatever it was called, bloodshed tree, is if you kill somebody with a melee attack, you spawn another decoy and you can drop back into deception. So theoretically, you could just be bouncing around the battlefield and have like 6 dudes out there fighting and distracting enemies while you're going and killing everybody behind them. So, I mean, your end is like, or the sniping end gives you like crit damage.
Yeah, this crit damage. It has,
to keep you in decoy mode.
It has better aim, has better, like steady hand wise anyway, because that, you know, you've got a little bit of that shake when you aim down the sights.
Yeah.
So it starts tightening that up. It starts doing, allowing for more crits and bigger crits for with your bullets anyway. I don't think there's anything that like slows down apertures or anything. I do like some of that middle tree stuff where it starts to combine both of them, where like if you do a melee attack, like your next bullet shot is going to do extra damage, or if mm-hmm. you shoot somebody, your next melee attack is going to do more damage.
Yeah.
So that could potentially be cool. I didn't look at all the stuff too heavily, but
yeah. The other two characters would be the commando, which I hear a lot of buzz by people who are professional game journalists playing. It's your turret dude. So you have your turret that can either be used as basically a decoy, as a defensive position, or as firepower. Mm-hmm. So I find that to be probably the most variable class, but then in the same respect, the least interesting class for me to play.
Yeah.
So that one is last on my list of things to try. And then finally you have the Gunzerker, which is kind of the reimagining of Brick in the last game. So instead of going into a supercharged melee mode where you're punching dudes and doing regenerating health and crap, in this one you pull out a second gun and do increased damage, regen bullets, it's like basically this is your Gunzerker, this is your crazy berserker, just shoot everything, shoot first, ask questions later, regen your bullets, don't worry about anything, swap weapons, just keep pouring down the bullets, which sounds like the kind of character that I should be playing, but I don't know, I just find that class so...
I'm assuming that the second gun you bring out is something that you have equipped,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's your other gun.
Because I heard complaints that, you might have a sniper rifle and a rocket launcher. Well, I'm like, don't do that combination.
Yeah.
Do a different combination.
Yeah. I mean,
you can
the Gunzerker does have a lot of possibilities for loadouts too. Like you can kind of go tank with a lot of just ability to survivability and health, or you can go pistols or kind of full Gunzerker.
I think I would go full Gunzerker.
Just two machine guns.
Yep.
All the time.
Because you generate ammo and health when you're in Gunzerker mode. So
that middle tree does sound like the best. The Gunzerker tree of just pour it on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you level up guns in this game, like in the first game? You don't?
Not that I saw.
No.
Okay, so maybe that's why the badass thing is in there instead.
Exactly. So previously...
I like the badass thing.
Yeah, previously, the more you'd use a weapon, the better the level would be, and the more little perks you'd get, like reload speed, damage, accuracy, all these little modifiers. But now they adopt this new system called badass whatever, and by completing little in-game micro-challenges, you get awarded tokens, which can be exchanged in for little micro-upgrades, which work across all the characters.
Badass.
You're playing every character you decide to make. So you can improve basically any stat, and then if you want, you can just really focus on one stat, or you can kind of make a sprawling increase across the board on several things.
Yep. After playing for a while, I hadn't noticed that I'd earned like 6 badass tokens. I was like, ooh, I'm just going to start dumping these in here.
I have also heard that that is unlimited. It will never, you'll never hit an end.
Oh, so, really? So you just keep playing.
Yeah. Right? You can just keep upgrading that, which sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it carries over to your other characters.
Yeah, so
give you a little leg up when you start playing as a new person if you choose to go that route.
Yeah, well, it's interesting.
Your badass, the quests you complete are don't roll over, so you start them over again on your new character, I believe.
So you start from zero?
Gives you more reason to play.
You still have your badass rank and your points, but the quest that you completed, I believe, start over.
Okay.
Interesting.
I think that's how it goes.
Interesting.
Huh. Nah.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know too much more. I want to play more of it.
Yeah. I want to play more too, but it sucks that everybody who's playing right now is all playing as assassins.
Well, because that's the right choice.
I'd play as commando.
You would. I would not play as a commando.
Well, Griff, at least we are playing like different assassins. So.
Yeah, which was what I was going to say. I feel like one change that may not be so significant initially, like apparently, or you know, maybe down the road it will become more of a big deal, but right now at the beginning of the game playing it, kind of whatever class I chose is kind of meaningless,
right?
And then even looking further down the skill tree, I mean, the amount of specialization there kind of is really contained within the class you pick. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess I'm having a hard time articulating this. In the last game, I felt like when I played a Siren, the only way that I could be a damaging Siren would be to just kind of spec one very specific way down the tree, like very, very specific way. In this, I feel like they've done a good job of making the tree seem less like it is the end-all be-all of your success. Like the skill tree seems to be more of like, this is how you specialize and make your character unique if you're playing in a group, whereas we're going to let the guns do the talking, instead of like the Mordecai character who has, you know, if you split the tree in half, two trees in half, you have the most powerful character that has like a million different upgrades to each single bullet that shoots 5,000 times the damage each shot. Like it seems like the way they've designed it with the character builds, they'll let the guns carry you forward to progress through damage and function. But then if you want to have a more interesting and unique experience, the classes and talent trees will let you kind of have that.
Do you feel a little bit then like trying to split the tree is not going to be as effective as just straight shot wanting like one end of the tree?
That it works different. Like I think that if I were playing Maya, I would split the tree. I would not finish any side of it.
Sure.
But then if I were playing with a group, I would respec and kind of like run as a healer or crowd control. So then like really changing everything around to kind of fulfill a function. But in terms of just single player, like I feel like I could get away with splitting the tree, going straight down one tree. Like it really wouldn't matter since each tree does a good job of just kind of like not being the crux of your success. It's the guns that you're requiring, you know,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, I get you. And I mean, I would agree with that. Like right now I feel like I am pushing forward with the guns that I have, but getting new guns would be really beneficial to my success.
Sure.
So I don't know. I'm always like looking at guns and swapping out different guns and just hoping to find something mm-hmm. better. So I don't know. I'm always wanting to level up more because I want to put more stuff into that so I can really start getting into the meat of what it means to level up.
Yeah.
Because right now it seems so short-sighted.
I think I'm at level 9 with my assassin. And once I get to 11, that's when I'm going to do like a little check to see if I... That'll be my pause to see if this is the character that I want to play as, because... You know, this is when you get the kind of the midpoint skill tree upgrade.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't really work for me, then I'm kind of going to just rethink about it and maybe switch to Siren.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Oh, we lose him.
Hello.
Oh, we're good.
Oh, hello.
I think that's pretty much it for Borderlands.
Different song. There's a new song in the beginning.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Ooh.
I like this song.
I don't even remember it. It's not Cage the Elephant, so no, I don't remember it.
Do we want to talk about iPhone 5?
Not really.
Ask me anything about iPhone 5.
Are you going to get it?
Probably.
Okay, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I'll probably get it.
Cool.
But it won't be until like March.
Yeah. I wish I could.
Yeah. I hear like certain providers are locking out the ability to get an early upgrade.
I didn't know you could get early upgrades.
No, dude, I always get early upgrade. They're like, you're
Verizon?
Yeah. When I got my iPhone 4, I just got the early upgrade.
They do that?
Yeah. 1 year early upgrade if you're a good customer.
I don't know if I believe that, because I tried to look into that stuff and there was no options for me.
Well, you got to go in there and you kind of got to, you know.
Yeah, I did everything.
Yeah.
I did everything you could do.
You gotta
no, you don't have to do that. There has to be, if they're locking people out, then there can't be like the, hey, no more nudge, nudge, wink, wink, like deals.
You gotta be nice, Griff.
I went into 3 different locations trying to buy an iPhone 4S when I was like a year and a half into my contract.
Huh.
So I was like, come on. Like, and they're like, well, we can sell you to you for $199 when it gets to June. And I was like, but. Or you can pay $600 now. I'm like, but no.
Absolutely not.
So I don't know. I heard about the, what is it, AT&T is locking that out. But,
yeah, I heard they're saying, no, you can't do that.
I didn't know that you could.
Well, because they lose so much on the cost of that phone at that point. So, but I mean, what crazy person would just dole out $600, but they're out there. So,
I mean, it's basically like buying a cheap computer.
Yeah, I suppose.
Finance it for a year and get it paid off and pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. It's nothing too special, but it'll be nice. Extra row of chiclets.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. We will see. I'm more excited about iOS 6.
Yeah.
This is what I should... What I need to just keep telling myself.
Yeah, and I forget, when's the launch for
next
iOS?
Week?
Next week?
Yep.
It launches with the new phone, sure.
I think it is next week Wednesday, so a week from when this goes up.
Yep. Cool. Sounds good.
Lots of other cool iPhones or Apple stuff that came out of that press conference.
New iPod Touch, new iPod Nano.
So pretty.
There was a halfway legit leak about iPad Mini. I sort of looked at today.
Oh, like
looks like an 8-inch iPad.
Yeah,
it got leaked out of like a China site.
So,
and then, like the part of it that actually like rings true is like it's like somebody holding something that has an 8-pin like port on the bottom of it. So, Interesting.
It being China side.
Yep. Let's see. News.
Hey, let's do it.
Yeah. Griff.
Hi. Here every week. Let's talk about the Wii U. Speaking of crazy stuff that just got announced in the past. Yeah. Oh my god.
Let's talk about the Wii U.
Hey, so it's been dated, priced, and all that sorts of goodness. Matt, making it look pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah. How much would you pay for a Wii U?
I don't answer zero because you're not interested. Because you know you are interested.
How much would I pay?
Dude, yes. Get on the train because GameStop is already sold out of all theirs through pre-order. So, yep. You know, you're...
I hope they are, too. I hope that thing just, like, gets everybody all worked up for no good reason.
Well, I'm probably not going to get one. Yeah, oh. I know. I'm crazy, right?
What?
Guess.
Apparently, I don't like fun.
You don't want a tablet that you cannot take out of your house?
I know. I'm just...
This was crazy. Pretty much the exact same opinion I
How
had.
How dare you?
Which was... They announced the date for it, and I was just like, oh, yeah, I don't want to get that.
Yeah. I was a resounding still not interested. But for those people who are, it's going to be $299 for an 8-gig device and $349 for a 32-gig special edition deluxe model.
Black.
Yes.
Has like a stand with it too or something.
Comes with some crappy stands.
Yeah.
And
one for your console and one for your not pad.
The thing that's bizarre about that, though, is you can upgrade. Like, it has a slot for a solid state. So, yeah. Or for additional memory.
Yeah, it's
so,
probably an SSD card.
Yeah, so kind of weird that they're making a big deal out of that. The other things on their announcement would be...
Well, the Wii had that, too. You can flip open that little door and cram a card in there.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of people were really... Well, I thought there was some something that was...
How many blocks is a gig?
I don't know, but I thought there was some issue about there being the stick-in-able cards on the Wii, because I remember people being really upset where they would have to do something. Man, like, I thought you couldn't change your card unless you formatted it or something like that.
You have to format it for the Wii.
When you take it out?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, you mean, like, taking it from the Wii and then putting it into, like, a... PC?
I thought there was some weird proprietary thing that, like, if you ever wanted to put in a new card or take out a card, like, it would erase something. Because
maybe it would be basically like a thing of, like, taking it from one console to another.
Yeah, they wanted to prevent that. So I thought there was some weird system in place that prevented that. But you know, it's been forever ago.
You really care about that? Because, you know, hello, memory cards have been around forever. Calm down.
Well, if you're downloading a lot of Virtual Console games, then you're starting to fill that fridge up pretty quick, and I remember that being a big thing.
Whatever. I hate...
So hopefully this won't run into the same issue. I mean, I'm sure there is a more intelligent design than this, and, you know, it's hard to say. Anyway, this is coming out November 18th in North America. Do you just not want to talk about this, Sean? Do you
want to
go put on your grumpy pants somewhere else? You want to just not talk? Let's go talk about Star Trek. Talk about video games.
No.
Video games are dumb.
The one thing that I'd be willing to talk to you about for Wii U, because everything else on here is just I don't even care, is freaking Bayonetta 2.
Yeah. That's great.
I don't like that.
Why don't you like it?
I like Bayonetta 2, but I don't like that right now it's not looking like it's coming out on anything but Wii U.
Well, suck it up.
I'm not going to drop $300 to play Bayonetta 2.
Then don't.
I'm making my stand right
then
here.
Then don't.
Platinum Games need to pull their heads out of their boot-hooties.
Well, I mean...
As does Sega.
You could also get Wonderful 101, which would...
What the hell is that?
Seems like that was a P100, that like action Pikmin game that was shown out a lot at E3 this year. Looks really, really fun. But the new trailer that released when all this stuff was announced through the Nintendo event, like, makes that game look just even better. Like, just beautiful Joe aesthetics with, well, I guess Pikmin style action and, I don't know, just giant monsters and kind of a Power Rangers style vibe. Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate Edition coming to it.
Griff, are you going to get one?
I mean, I'm not going to rush out on day one, but I will consider it.
I've already made enough bad purchases.
It's a new console. It sounds fun. I mean, this is what it's all about, man. It's getting excited about new stuff coming out. You know, and like you said, Bayonetta 2 as an exclusive. Yeah. How are we going to use that touchpad to control her?
Ha.
Draw things to make the hair move.
Draw hair god.
The title, or the day one launch titles are going to be Rayman Legends, Mass Effect 3, Batman Arkham City, Zombie U, Epic Mickey 2, and then this weirdness with Black Ops 2.
Weirdness?
Yeah, it was on an Activision site, it was said that Black Ops 2 was supposed to be going into stores on the 13th, which wouldn't be the first time stores get games before the console is out for a new console.
Oh, I see what you're saying, because Black Ops 2 will release
before 5 days before the new console.
Well, whatever.
So, but then the only thing I didn't do is double check when Black Ops 2 is coming out for everything else.
It's probably the 13th.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's the case, then whatever. You know.
So they're just going to be like, well, let's just ship them all. Just ship them all.
Sure. I mean, that would make for GameStop to have some nice, you know, pre-order action there. You know, yeah. Hey, would you like to pre-order your Wii U and Black Ops 2? You can get it before it comes out. You can have a copy of the game before the system comes out.
You have something to stare at for a week before you can actually play it.
Yeah.
And then not play it the way you really want to play it.
Well, I mean, you should be able to now, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Play it like a real game.
Huh.
Just have to buy your real game retro controller.
So, Insomniac's Fuse?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys remember Overstrike from, was it Spike or was it E3?
I don't know. I saw the trailer again, yeah. But...
Anyway, this game was shown like a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Overstrike was, and it kind of disappeared. And now it's been revived and retitled as Fuse, which kind of uses the same team-based action and tactics and weapon and specialized weaponry that Overstrike kind of promised in its fun little trailer. But this one kind of takes place in a more realistic setting with your military mans running around. So I feel significantly less interested. I liked it better when it was more like over-exaggerated cartoony, Saturday morning cartoon stuff. And
yes, I felt the same way. Mostly just from that new trailer, all it seems is that there's two things. One person has a shield, and mm-hmm. then the other thing is those enemies turning black from some sort of power you have, and that's like it.
Yeah, they're like showing it off as like, you get these different kinds of ammo. But it seems like all the ammo is just different ways for dudes to blow up.
Yeah, it doesn't seem interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah. You know,
I
am disappointed. Come on, Insomniac. What's going on?
Didn't they also announce that they're no longer... Who announced that they're no longer making single-player games?
Everybody.
Everybody, huh? Great.
Electronic Arts.
They don't really make games, so...
Yeah, I thought it was Insomniac or somebody who said they're...
It could be.
Not in the process of
Ubisoft did it a while ago. Or Valve did it a while ago.
Or maybe that's who I think it is. Huh. I can't remember. It was somebody, but I thought it was Insomniac.
I don't know anything about this. I read about it a little bit, but I guess I feel like I'm missing something here with the Project Eternity.
Oh, yeah.
From Obsidian.
This is crazy. Crazy.
That they got their $1.1 million goal, and they've still got, like, what, a month to go?
Day one. They matched their $1.1 million goal. First day it was announced. So there were some teasers on the internet about pictures of a snake eating its own tail, and it was like, oh, coming from Obsidian, new project. Somebody's like, what's it gonna be? It could be anything. Who knows? Maybe it's gonna be a Fallout or game or a Elder Scrolls, or I don't know, some game that's based, or Baldur's Gate or something like that. So it ended up being a Kickstarter project, which is bizarre, for a game they're calling Project Eternity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantasy RPG. It's going to be kind of their homage to Icewind Dale, Planescape Torment, and Baldur's Gate. It has Chris Avellone, Tim Kaine, Josh Sawyer. These are old Black Isles studio people, guys that worked on those three games I mentioned a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
The initial cost would be if you wanted to join the Kickstarter, $20 or $25 would get you a digital copy of the game for, you know, PC.
Okay.
They're doing some stretch goals now, which I haven't checked. All those games are great. I there's another dude's name who was mentioned who was like the level designer and like main dude on Planescape Torment in terms of like the system side. So I like that game. I'm glad he's involved with it, but it's not for Mac. So that's what I have to say about that one.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what that turns into, but with that much money backing it, I suppose they got a lot of room.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying, oh, that's so ballsy for a company to, you know, like, who do you think you are, Oblivion? What, or Obsidian? What have you done? What's the last game you've made?
Well,
what's it, Fallout New Vegas? It was surprising that they made Alpha Protocol. I mean, that was not, they did make that game too, but they also did, they're also working on the South Park game.
I suppose it's true about that.
It's just, you know, kind of weird that their announcement was a Kickstarter for an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah. Let's see here. The new PS3 rumor for the 16 gig and a 500 gig.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a thing. Does that, you suppose that leads in with possibly a new model design?
Yes, that would be what I was talking about here. There are pictures that this weird Polish site, Polygamia, put up, and their new models, which kind of look like the same size. It looks like it has the same squat size as the plastic version 2, but then it has the aesthetics of V1. So it has that glossy finish and like the chrome detailing, like the silver detailing on the edges, and kind of like the touch functions, but it looks just like somebody squashed it down and like chibi-fied it or something. The rumor is that it's supposed to be a 16 and a 500 gig model.
That seems so weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that weird, though. I mean, that's kind of what the Xbox does. You've got your 4 gig and you've got your 250 gig, so...
Yeah.
I mean, it makes total sense to do that. And a lot of people are speculating that this is what's going to be announced at TGS here in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
Sounds feasible.
We've all sort of expected that would happen at some point, right?
Yeah, since Gamescom, there was rumors of a new PS3 model coming out.
Console.
So. Yeah, new console. PlayStation 4. It's just a small PlayStation 3.
That's all it is. We said it's a 10-year plan. 10 years.
We're just calling it the PlayStation 4. It's still the same.
PlayStation 4x4, it's the size of 2x4.
PlayStation 4S.
Uh-huh.
This time it has voice controls.
You can use your brain.
Brain.
Dragon Age Inquisitions.
Dragon Eggs.
Dragon Age 3 Inquisitions. I didn't see anything on this. I like barely caught some glimpses. Is Hawk coming back?
Based on the end of the second game, I'm saying it moves on from that point.
God, I can only hope.
I wasn't able to find any solid information on this. Except
they just announced the title.
It's coming out next year sometime.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Fall 13.
Hit that button again.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
I'm in.
Sure.
I'll play it.
Yep, okay. I will too.
I played the first two, so.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
You got me.
Just keep going down that road. Why not? I assume it's still going to be BioWare.
I don't know. I mean, EA...
Everything's up for speculation.
The announcement comes from EA. Since all of the EA subsidiaries now are BioWare, I'm guessing that probably, it'll be BioWare.
Let's see here. Shin Megami Tensei 4 for 3DS, only in Japan.
Oh, yeah. I kind of debated whether or not to put this on here, but it's important because it's the next game in the franchise. Like it's a numbered game, you know. It'd be like if the next Final Fantasy were to come out, I don't know, say on the PC or something, and people are like, what, that's crazy.
Yeah,
why would they ever do that?
Yeah.
But from the trailer shown, it seems like it's going in the right direction. You know, the 3DS seems like it might be a good fit for that. it is going to be the same sort of hallway dungeon crawling game, but from the third person perspective instead of first. It seems like there are some other things going on there too, like maybe some interaction with people outside of the dungeons. The setting it's put in is this like weird future world, but everybody has swords and armor, so I haven't really ever followed the SMT storyline, so I don't really know if that's a deviation or if that's on par. I don't know.
Do you
But I mean, that's great. Maybe that means Atlas is going to do more games for the 3DS once they get this framework in place. Hopefully that just won't be Persona 5.
Yeah. Do you suppose this would be something you'd pick up if it came out?
Well, it is only in Japan right now, so I don't know. It depends. It's definitely not a guaranteed yes, because I'm not huge into SMT, but it's starting to grow on me more. But they are long RPG games that are, you know, have systems upon systems upon systems that are a lot of like grinding and luck based things. So
yeah,
if they can, that's why Persona was so much fun, is because it kind of, you know, added some more things that were more enjoyable onto that. And, I don't know if I'm going to go and commit to a Shin Megami Tensei 4 purchase.
Sure.
But who knows? Maybe I won't have to. It won't come to America ever.
Ever. Well, usually Shin Megami Tensei games of different variety come here a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Big news. The doctors from BioWare are retiring.
They did. What a weird thing to just kind of pop up. I read the kind of resignation letters of Dr. Ray and Dr. Greg. Dr. Ray Muzika and Dr. Greg Zeschuk of BioWare fame. Basically, they're retiring from BioWare and EA. Dr. Ray, in short, says he kind of wanted to quit 6 months ago. He put it in his resignation letter. He feels like he kind of just said he's got everything he can out of this industry. He has managed things, done things that he could have never believed he could ever do, like, and now he kind of wants to pursue new interests, which would be educating. I think in his letter he said he wants to kind of take on like a mentorship for new entrepreneurs and investors. Okay. So he wants to kind of educate new people on how to allocate funds and you know, kind
of be interesting.
Yeah. So definitely nothing to do with BioWare stuff. And then Dr. Greg, in a kind of, his was a little weirder, since
that makes sense though.
He said that he just kind of, a switch was flipped and he no longer has a passion for making games. And, he wants to pursue all this weird beer stuff. Like, it's like, The Beer Diaries, which is some web series where he goes to different breweries and interviews the hops masters and describes the flavor profile of beer. So huh,
yeah,
good for
Twitter.
Him, man. Like, sure. Way to go. Way to like just move on to the next thing.
Well,
and have a good time.
You know,
with
you
it.
You made your footprint in the earth, and now you can go do your own thing.
Yeah,
just go do it.
I mean, the obvious, the low hanging fruit is to question: is this because of EA? Is this because of Star Wars Online?
Yeah,
is this because of Mass Effect 3? Is this because they're just fed up with
the way this industry
not
sort of works?
Being in Canada anymore?
Yeah. That's mostly it. The only other thing that showed up was the 25th anniversary package for Street Fighter has been announced. And there's no price point on it yet.
Oh.
And I'm looking at that going, maybe. Especially for PS3.
Okay.
It is going to be this giant 25th anniversary package for Street Fighter that will come with Super Street Fighters. What did I abbreviate?
Turbo?
Yeah. Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Edition. Super Street Fighter 3rd Strike. Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Editions with all costumes and downloadable content. Street Fighter Cross Tekken, all costumes. And a two-disc I think it's like a DVD Blu-ray combo that is a documentary called I Am Street Fighter. And then a 8-inch light up Ryu statue. Pretty sweet. And then 11-disc soundtrack and a hardbound art book and then Ryu's belt.
I didn't know Ryu had, what, his cloth belt?
Yeah.
Okay.
His belt, the one he wears around his waist.
That belt. The belt. Not the other belt.
Not the head belt.
Oh, gotcha.
The one that keeps his forehead from falling down.
Sure.
And then a certificate of authenticity. Now, if you get it for PlayStation 3, you also get a lot of games downloaded and pretty much just a ton of Street Fighter stuff, like 175 avatars, Street Fighter Alpha Max, Street Fighter 3 Alpha, and Street Fighter Alpha.
So, how much of this stuff is digital? Not including the PlayStation stuff.
Not including the PlayStation stuff?
I mean, obviously the costume packs.
The costume packs and the DLC for Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. The rest of it's all...
You're getting disc copies of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD and Super Street Fighter 3 Third Strike?
Yeah.
You're not just getting redemption codes to get them online?
That's not what it made it sound like on there.
Or AE Arcade Edition, which you can download online, too?
It said they were all in disc format.
Huh. That seems really weird.
Yeah.
Is this for America?
This one looked like it didn't show anything about when it would be released or where it would be released and when. So that was kind of a bummer. There might be a newer article out there that highlights more of this, but right now that's what that looks like.
Capcom Unity have a stance on it?
I think the one that I saw was from Game Informers. I didn't get a chance to check the Capcom blog before I ran out of the house. The only thing is Resident Evil 6 demo is now available if you want to go download that.
Yeah. It's different from the Dragon's Dogma pre-order.
Yeah.
It's Dragon's Dogma purchase
demo
edition. Yeah. So I'll be checking it out since the Dragon's Dogma one was kind of garbage.
Yeah. That and Fable the Journey are pending right now on my Xbox.
Fable the Journey, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to pull an arrow out of a horse.
Okay.
And shove it back in there.
No!
You believable man.
Break it off.
Is it the diamond horse?
Yep. Gosh, what's he named that thing?
Don't worry about it. No sure, spoilers, you said. Don't sure spoil it.
Butt is in there somewhere.
You said don't spoil it.
Oh, buddy. Matt, did you do trivia?
You said you were doing it.
I know.
You look worried there for a second, Matt.
I was.
Crapped his pants for a second. That's why it's good. Let's see here. I'm just pulling up the trivia now, guys. Get ready for this.
I'm ready. It's getting
more,
the...
More back-of-the-box trivia.
Things.
Get excited.
I am excited.
Get excited. Do. Let's see here. Just as a heads up, these are all Super Nintendo titles.
Yay!
Great. So you guys should do really well. No. Some of them are... Like, a couple of them are easy, but I really, really tried this time to pick out some ones that would be really hard for you guys to get.
Okay.
Okay, let me see if this will let me... Nope, not going to do it, so let's just going to go this way. Okay. Oh, gosh, here we go.
Yeah, I'm going to keep you up.
The 3D Space Combat Simulator. Intense cinematic action with one big difference. You're in command. The fate of humanity is in your hands as you lead the Tiger's Claw Squadron against the forces of the...
Griff.
Yeah.
Wing Commander.
Yep, Wing Commander.
Yep.
Yep.
Really not gonna let Kill Rothy. That's what you're going to say.
Oh,
next.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Those are the tiger people.
I was trying to read it. All these are, like, squishy.
Ooh.
Okay. Let's see here. You're awake on a slab in the city morgue.
Griff, Shadowrun.
Yo, crap. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. I just played it recently.
Yeah.
You've never played it.
Reading the back of the box there.
Yeah, reading the back of the game cart. It was, if swallowed, please contact your local physician. Flush eyes immediately.
It's up to you to defeat the Empire. It's been nearly a quarter of a century since the blank Empire first conquered the kingdoms of blank. With a wrath of fear and bloodshed. Oh, yeah, I read that terribly. or the Wrath of Fear and Bloodshed. You are the leader of a band of rebels who have fought to preserve the last shred of honor in this desperate time of treachery. This sets a somber scene for Blank Battle, the first of the superb line of fantasy role-playing game and simulation sagas from Enix.
Matt, Ogre? Tactics Ogre?
Not what I'm looking for.
Griff, Ogre Battle?
Yes, Ogre Battle. Yeah.
Tactics Ogre, was that... That was, that
was,
a,
was that the
G-G-G-G-G-A PlayStation GBA version? One?
Was the PlayStation version? No, I think I was the N64 version. Tactics Ogre?
I thought that was Ogre Battle 64.
Or maybe it was.
I've got Tactics Ogre as a port to the PSP.
Hmm.
Retrospect, I should adjust these images more. It's really hard to read them like this.
Live show!
Live show, we're doing it. Getting back to the basics. City kids of all ages will want to take in the natural beauty and breathe the fresh country air in this fascinating farming simulation game.
Blank Matt, Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon.
Nice. I kept thinking Sim.
Oh God, this is going to be impossible to read. Oh, golly. Something nasty is going around and the whole universe is catching it. The gentle Blank thought that they were cured of the... Gosh, Blank... Contemptible, gosh, this is so small. Like contemptible curse after generations of germ-free living. Guess again. What wretched fiend is once again wreaking havoc on Blank and the surrounding planets? It's your destiny to put an end to it. Unless maybe you think life is safe as...
Griff, is it Mario? No, Dr. Mario? Not. Can we
just move past this. I'm skipping it. We'll come back to it.
Matt, Booger Man.
Nope.
Okay.
Good. What was it?
It's Gradius.
Wow.
It's okay. A huge, huge back-of-the-box thing. I should have expanded these more. Okay, let's see. Think you can save the world? Here's your chance to play the world's first role-playing game for the entry-level player. The planet is dying. Cold winds blow. Fires rage. Trees are writhing in something in other worlds. It's brutal out there. Only you can stop the Dark King from consuming the light from the crystal of Earth.
Griff. Mystic Quest.
Mystic Quest.
Dun, 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 dun,
a super
dun,
saga dun. Of 23rd century satellite warfare. The graphics will dazzle you, the speed will astound you. But if you don't think fast and shoot faster...
F-Zero.
No.
No.
Think fast and shoot faster, you won't have a chance against the alien firestorm. Because in Blank, the best defense is always a great offense. So get ready to hit first and hit fast in the hardest hitting adventure to hit the Super NES screen. 6 levels of play. From above the clouds to deep inside the enemy spaceship. Super fast horizontal scrolling action and firepower. 2 levels of difficulty, and choice of 8 high-tech weapons.
You got this. Come on. Think about aliens and dudes.
Okay, well, my first thought was Contra the Alien Wars.
No.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, that's what I was thinking, too.
It's EDF, Earth Defense Force.
Wouldn't have got it.
Welcome to Blank, soldier. Now shut up and start fighting, because there's no time to waste. We're talking total war against the forces of evil with the only thing standing between civilization and the end of everything as we know it. It's you. One angry marine with a handgun and a bad attitude. This is one full auto 16 meg faithful version of the PC original.
Griff, Doom.
Doom. Oop. This is going to be the last one. Team up with the strength of Blank for a super clash. Take on a legion of Blank and a new Blank force as you forge into the covert underworld of Planet Blank. It's up to you and Blank to recapture the long-surviving Blank.
Griff, is it Blank?
No. There's a lot of blanks in this one. The long-surviving Blank hatching before evil hands unleashed its energy. An army of ominous creatures are poised for battle at every turn of... Wow. Nope. At every turn and threatening passageways. God, this is terrible. Including the menacing blank and the great lizard Kraid. Just going to give you that one.
Great lizard what?
Kraid.
Kraid.
Moving on.
This is a game.
Knock down enemies with a killer... Wow. That is not a word.
Has somersaults.
Yeah.
It's has a, balls.
Killer somersault. Swing on an electric beam through narrow passageways. They're no match for you and blank, but wait, it seems the blank has returned. I know, it's tons of blanks. It's terrible. I can go through and read it without the blanks.
No.
It has super in its title.
Yeah, it does.
I'm drawing a blank. I give up.
Ha, me too, right? Hello. Super Metroid?
Yeah, Super Metroid.
Okay.
That's it.
Blank. Blank, blank. Yeah, okay. 6-1. Sorry, Matt.
I'm not good on the Super Nintendo.
Griff just stomping it. Murder. Super Nintendo was his era, though, remember?
It's not mine.
I guess. It's my era.
Oh, man.
Old man.
Well, I guess that's going to do it for episode 91. We're going to be back next week talking about some other stuff, more Borderlands 2. I'm sure probably. Matt and I are going to have
Torchlight
to talk
about. The
game's
not out for Mac.
Yeah, well,
that's a bummer.
That's what you get.
I guess that's true.
You got a PC over there. I'll give you that graphics card back.
Okay. Then it'll work. That's what it's missing.
All right. That'll do it, guys. I'll catch you next week.
Bye.